Blog Talk Radio.
It's official right now. In 4 minutes or less, we're gonna crown all of them right now.
That's Kate,
my mama, your mama,
you,
your baby's mama's mama's mama.
That's Kate, you,
wife,
you.
If you're near a woman right now, wherever you at, turn to them, say,
that's Kate,
you are appreciated.
I appreciate your strength, and the number to take to carry and birth a child.
Thank you,
and the way you play dumb, even when we're living real
bad. Thank you,
and even as a single parent, mama, you still hold it down somehow.
I wanted to say peace and blessings to the family and to the sisters out there. I hope everyone is having a beautiful day today. Today, I'm so excited about our guest, Izzy Danto. She will be on shortly with us. Today is Sunday, May 30th. And, of course, the song I just played is dedicated to all the women, the strong women out there. I thought that was a decent, a pretty nice, a great selection to play for the sisters out there today. All right, I will give you some background info as we wait on our guest call in. Again, our guest is Marguerite Laurent, known as Izzy Danto. She's a Haitian woman inspired, guided, and directed by the strength, legacy, and visions of the Haitian warrior goddess. Izzy Danto is an award-winning playwright, a performance poet, political and social commentator, author, and human rights attorney. She was born in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and raised in Stamford, Connecticut. She holds a BA from Boston College, a JD from the University of Connecticut School of Law, and attended the Harvard Conservatory for Ballet, Jazz, and Modern while studying Haitian dancing at home with countless Haitian dance experts in the field. And you can check her out on her blog, which is open.salon.com, and the website is MarguerriteLaurent.com, and that is spelled MarguerriteLaurite Laurent, LAURENT.com. All right. I'm going to play a brief commercial, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tanya K. Freeman, affectionately called Diva Mama Tanya, and I'd love for you to join me and my beloved on a retreat cruise to the Bahamas the weekend of October 29th and November 1st. Celebrate awakening the diva within. Enjoy life-changing seminars and belly dance rituals on Coco Cay Island. Invite your significant other to participate in embracing the sacred masculine. Then, join us again as we share our views on the beauty and the power of sacred intimacy. Contact Alicia at 877-227-5184 or visit wombshaman.com. That's WOMBSHAMAN.com. Relax, renew, refresh on this extraordinary journey.
Welcome back to the Black Womaniverse. Again, this is your host, Seek Wisdom. And I am waiting for my guest to call in. I'm hoping she's not having a problem getting in on the line. So I apologize for the delay. Hope we have not gotten our lines crossed in terms of the time. So I am still trying to reach her. So if y'all could just bear with me for a moment. I'm going to play just a little something else, and we'll be right back.
Degrees. He was brown, deep. Said he wanted to talk about my mission, listen to my past lives. Took me on long walks to places where butterflies rest easy. Talked about Moses and Mumia, reparations, blue colors, memories of shell top Adidas. He was fresh, like summer peaches, sweet on my mind, like block parties and penny candy. Us was nice and warm. No jacket, no umbrella, just warm. At night we would watch the stars, and he would physically give me each and every one. I felt like cayenne pepper, red, hot, spicy. I felt dizzy and Sonia, heaven and miles between my thighs. Better than love, we made delicious. He me had me he had me tongue-tied. I could hear his rhythm in my thoughts. I was his shark, his horn section, his boom and his bit. And he was my love.
Love rained down on me, down on me.
The rain was falling and slowly and sweetly and stinging my eyes, and I could not see that he became my voodoo priest, and I was his faithful concubine, wide open, wide, loose like boughs after collard greens. The mistake was made. Love slipped from my lips, dripped down my chin, and landed in his lap, and us became new. Now, me non-clairvoyant and in love made the coochie easy and the obvious invisible. The rain was falling and I couldn't see the season changing and the vibe slipping off its axis. Our beautiful melody became wildly staccato. The rain was falling and I could not see that I was to be plowed and sown and fertilized and left to drown in his sunny afternoon. Cumulus clouds, 84 degrees, melody.
I stretch my arms towards the sky like blades of tall grass. The sun beat between my shoulders like carnival drums. I sat still in hopes that it would help my wings grow, so then I could really be fly. And then she arrived, like daybreak inside a railway tunnel, like the new moon, like a diamond in the mines, like high noon.
Hello?
All right, we
Hello?
Are back with the Black Womaniverse, and we do have our guest on, Ezalee Danto. How are you today, sister?
I'm good, thank you, Seeks Wisdom. How are you?
I'm great. Yes, we are so excited to have you on today. So I do want to say thank you for, you know, making time out to speak with the sisters today. So I guess we can
get
started.
More than happy to be here.
Thank you. We can get started today, I guess, by you giving us some background on about you. I have given everyone in the chat room and everyone on the line a little bit of information about you. But if you could, you know, give us some information about you, it's always better from your mouth.
All right. Where do I start? My name is Ezelie Danto. I was born in Haiti. I'm a performance poet. I'm a human rights lawyer. And I write. Ezelie Danto is what we would call in the Vodun spirituality a metet. It's an archetype. And it's the warrior mother. And there is a history with regards to Ezelie Danto. I don't know if you've already spoken about it to your audience. But
I haven't.
Okay. All right. All right. Ezelie Danto is the warrior mother. She is the black mother of all the races. And in Vodun, she is represented not by a figure of form, but by the sacred heart with a dagger going through it. So if you ever go online and you see a sacred heart with a dagger going through it, it's the Veve, which is the hieroglyphic, which is the sign that is made for this particular archetype in Haitian Vodun, and it represents the mother warrior. And as some of you may know, part of the spirituality of Vodun is that we remember. That means that, you know, the Indians have karma, the Christians have, I don't know, afterlife and heaven. But in Haitian Vodun, what we do in order to bring back those that have left us and those that have during their lifetime lifted up sacred energy, because that's what Vodun means, sacred energy, is that we remember them and by living the life that they lived. So the warrior mother is the backbone of Haiti. If you won't see her in all of the various images that is projected about what Haiti is, but she's the one that keeps Haiti going. As you all know, in the black community, the mother keeps the community going, and that's what Ezelie Danto is. She is reflected as the peasant woman. And it just so happens that is the archetype that I've had the most emotional connection with. And as an attorney, I advocate for Haiti, and I bring back the historical basis of Ezelie Danto. Those who may not know, Haiti was the first black republic in the New World in the Americas. That doesn't mean there weren't black nations before, but it was the very first one after the Europeans decided they had discovered the world. And so...
I like the way you said that.
So, just to be clear, you know, is that I certainly want to remember my ancestors from the beginning of time all to now. I don't want to cut them off by, you know, spouting European history and European discovery of the universe. Obviously, everybody knows that we are the first in time, out of time, anytime. So basically, after 300 years of European enslavement, where they were having the triangular trade, where they would bring our ancestors from Africa, the west coast of Africa, to the Caribbean, after 300 years of that, the warriors in Haiti, the African warriors, got together on August 14th, 1791. The one thing that Haiti is different from all of the nations, the modern nations of the modern world, it is the only nation that was founded on the warrior mother. Now, since our independence, patriarchy has taken hold much more, and our history is not told in this the way your audience is hearing me tell it, which is the reason
that, is why
that
I
have
you on today. That is because you. We have to hear this from you. We
yes.
got to hear this from you. So I'm going
to
sit.
So I want Black women to listen up, okay? Because there, if until we take our until we regain our role in the universe, because we are the history of rape.
Mm-hmm.
Until we regain our history in the universe, the planet will continue to be unbalanced. And so Haiti is the first and only nation that went back after the discoverers had come into the universe and basically rampaged, let's say, the Americas, raped and pillaged wherever they went. Haiti is the first country that went not to the culture of the conquerors. It is the first country to go back to the mother culture. So, for instance, 700 years before the Europeans got to, for instance, Africa, there had been a war with the Arab nations of the north that had came down and basically conquered northern Africa by raping and pillaging the African woman and providing the African nations with their religions. So all of that area went to the religion of the conqueror. There were Muslims, Christians, Jews, all sorts of individuals that were in Haiti. There were people of color with melanin content. But they all, on August 14th, 1791, went back to source. The woman who was the priestess at the gathering of the nations, there was 21 nations out of Africa in this gathering on August 14th, 1791. The gathering is known in Haitian history as Bois Caïman. It is all of the, there were delegations from various plantations. Folks came down to this particular area, and it was presided over by a woman. Her name, her historical name is Cécile Fatima. The goddess who danced in her head that night that all of the nations recognized was Ezeli Danto. She was the mother warrior, and she was the first archetype because we have other archetypes in nature that is part of nature. So she was the very first one to come, and basically she gave because the Haitians in Haiti never lost their connection to source, understanding that they were and are gods, and because they never lost that and accumulated this sort of idea that you need an intermediary between you and your universal source, that allowed them to understand that they should not allow their bodies to be used for profit and for just labor, which is what they were known as, you know, less than animals, and their bodies were they were breeding farms for women. You know, they bred you like you were a beast, so that they can add to more of their profits. Well, because we were who we are, we never accepted that as a humane and possible way for gods to allow their bodies to be used. And Ezeli Danto, the woman goddess, the mother warrior, is the one that provided the decree to a man. His name is Bukman. He was the first warrior of the Haitian Revolution, Bukman. I can go through a lot of different things, but Bukman was Muslim, obviously, because the Muslims used to carry the Quran with them. He's African. He went back to source, to the mother warrior. And so did every other nation of those 21 nations that stood up and that were part of that. Now, all of us came from different parts of Africa, from all the way down from the Congo up to the west, from West Africa, different nations, different languages, different tribal beliefs. But at Bwakaima, they became one. And in Vodun ceremonies, they say, Nufe Yuselko, we are one body. And that is the reason why Haiti still exists, even though the Europeans would never, they have demonized Vodun and they have demonized what it means. And a lot of folks who practice it have lost their connection to source. But if it's not about extending sacred energy, and I want everyone to hear me say this, and I want them to stand on it. No matter who you meet, they tell you they're Haitians, whatever. If it's not about extending sacred energy, then it is not my mama's Vodun. That's what it is, extending sacred energy. As Lee Dantal gave the strength, the guidance, so that after 300 years of enslavement, Haitians, the amalgamated tribes, who became Haitien in the land of the Tainos, that's what we became. We became Haitien Africans. Haitien, which is Haiti, the word for Haiti, the island, was the name of the island when it was inhabited by the Amerindians, the Arawak Taino group of Amerindians that lived there. And so after 13 years of that war, and in that 13 years, 200,000 Africans lost their lives. Now, about 3,000 Europeans lost their lives. I'm sorry, not 3,000. About 50,000 Europeans, because they all came, all the nations, just like right now we're at war. Haiti's occupied, all the nations have come. They all have come, you know, whether, you know, under the United Nations, they all have come.
We're definitely going to touch on that in a moment, because we've got to talk about what happened and what's going on with the earthquake and then what's going on right now. So we will definitely get to that in just a moment.
Yeah, we will. So basically, Ezeli Dantal is the mother warrior goddess. She is the founder and the spiritual strength of Haiti, the nation that I am from. And the important part about it is that the African warriors who became Haitien in this is this, you know, when Haiti beat out all the powers. Now, this is important for people to know. All the powers, all the superpowers at that time were taken down. France, Britain, Spain, those were the big powers of that time. And America was just coming together. It had just become independent from Great Britain in 1776. We won our independence in combat against all the powers, including a U.S. embargo in 1804. Since 1804, Haiti had basically 2 years with its founding father, which is Jean-Jacques Dessalines, because everybody knows about Toussaint Louverture. And I will get into why Toussaint Louverture is not Haiti's founding father. And the paradigm of Toussaint Louverture is the paradigm that today rules Africa, rules the Caribbean. Toussaint Louverture was the precursor. He was the one that the brilliant strategist that worked and fought back and forth against all the different powers. At the time, the white settlers were fighting amongst themselves for bounty. You know, they wanted gold and different places, Mexico, Peru, Chile. They were all fighting amongst each other. So Toussaint Louverture used their infighting to gain footage and leverage for our parents and grandparents. But at the end, he could only envision Haiti as a black-ruled French colony. He would be the governor, and he would rule it on behalf of France. Well, because he was so connected with integrating with injustice, you know, I don't know many leaders, black leaders in America, other than Malcolm X, and those that come from his lineage, Garvey and Malcolm X, who say, you know, it is not appropriate to integrate with, you know, your enemy, what's destroying the black woman. And think about the black woman not just being physical form, but the earth. We are the earth. And the earth right now, as you look around, is totally being destroyed. And so as trustees of that, I mean, we are the trustees of it. Our body is connected to the biosphere. Every woman knows that. Every month, just look at the moon. Just say, look at the tide. You're so connected. You give birth. It is your body that is being desecrated. So when we look at what it means and what Haiti is, not only metaphysically but actually in reality and what has happened. So Toussaint Louverture, you know, he thought basically that the most he can do in the world that he was living in, where slavery was everywhere, the black person was considered half, you know, not even human, was to rule on behalf of France. And for that was like so egregious to the white settler's mind, to the Jeffersons, who, you know, obviously was you know, they thought and they still think that our bodies is their property. Black women in the United States may not know this, but when these white boys go overseas, that's all they do is find poor black women to exercise whatever their Dixieland fantasies were back in the day, that they used to be able to exercise at will without any legal or spiritual or moral repercussions. So, and this is happening all over the planet. And I can tell you right now, with about 15,000 UN troops in Haiti, the rape level of Haitian women is out of this world. If you go to the hospitals, you will see these little light-skinned kids that are coming out. It is.
Wow.
If you look at what they had done, you see, because they left us alone, and we may have been poor, but we kept our lineage, we kept our beliefs. But they realize that they have to come in and destroy the line, just like they're doing in the Sudan, where they're raping the black women in order to have their line. Because they did it in Latin America. You have all these light-skinned, you know, people. You know, this is what we call, at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership, which I'm the head of, which I founded back in, 16 years ago, the Haitian Lawyers Leadership, forced assimilation. So it is the destruction of the black woman, and the elevation of the white woman as some sort of goddess, you know, as some sort of, you know, that liberty, blind, and death rising out of the Atlantic Sea that all our children are looking to move forward towards. So I have a piece that where I talk about that. But basically, that is the historical basis of what Haiti is. After they had kidnapped Toussaint Louverture out of Haiti, because, you know, he really sort of trusted his white advisors, and they kidnapped him out of Haiti. He ended up dying in some, you know, dungeon in France. There came the indigenous Haitian army led by the general Jean-Jacques Dessalines. And basically he said, if we keep these white folks here, we will always have to deal with them and their betrayal. So he basically, his first constitution was like, this is a black-ruled, independent nation. It doesn't matter that we have no grandfather or military power. We will do what we can. And that was the most courageous thing. We've paid for it as Haitians, because without you know, like Cuba doing its revolution, it had the Soviet Union a lot of these smaller countries, you know, you connect yourself to a big power that can help take down the dog so that, you know, the beast won't eat you. But Haiti doesn't have that. So they've been fleecing Haiti and pillaging Haiti since they are actually I have to go back to something that's important. Three things you should remember about what I just said. In Haiti, it was the first to avenge the Americas. Haiti was the first to avenge the genocide of the Native Americans. It was the first to avenge that Africans are human beings. It was the first to say black-ruled, independent country. And today, Haiti exists in a Mediterranean, an American Mediterranean, where all the countries around it are not black-ruled independent countries. They are right. Black-ruled colonies of the Commonwealth of whatever, Britain, or Puerto Rico, or America, or, you know, some European nation. That's why Haiti always, always has no protector. So they will say the most vilest thing about us because they own nothing there. But they did their last coup d'etat in 2004. They are steadily owning our lands. So the thing to always remember is not only who we are, what we are, but there is a spiritual force, a message to black women that you must regain who you are. You must remember that you are mother of not just your own children, but all of the races. And until we come back to that level of understanding of ourselves, until we connect back to source, you know, this planet is being destroyed. People, the issues of our, you know, the children that slide between our thighs are the worst treated in this planet because, you know, they happen to have dark skin and African features, or they have the inner fortitude not to assimilate but to claim themselves for themselves and their own interests. So we have a role to play, and that's what I try to do, as I've been doing for the last decades or so with regards to Haiti, is to bring back the warrior mother, is to change the brand that they've put on us, which is, you know, criminalize you in order to dehumanize you so that they continue fleecing you. So those are the things that I work on at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. And just to leave you off in terms of the historical, at Bois Caïma, there was a call. We adopt that call at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership. You know, the other day, one of our volunteers said to me, "Do you know why people go to your website? You know, I'm not very technological. I mean, I write a lot, but I have no idea how to read those different, who's going to my website." And she said to me that people look for two things: what does Bois Caïma mean, and what is that call, and Haiti's riches. Because we really emphasize Haiti's riches, and we say, you know, the reason you saw 20,000 troops land on Haiti after the earthquake wasn't exactly because they wanted to.
I really.
You know, Sheik was there, right? It wasn't because they wanted to protect a black woman's child like they did in Katrina, you know? It wasn't because they, you know, it was because we have that petroleum they want. It was
the
because
oil,
they've
gold,
been, yes.
Iridium, uranium, I mean.
There you go. There you go. And I am the only person in the last 6 years have been talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking about this is the only reason that we have Bush regime change number one and Bush regime change number two. And finally, you know, right after the earthquake, Business Week came out with something to say, oh, look, you know, the earthquake, I guess, you know, broke the ground and now they can see it. Like we're stupid idiots. They've been drilling that oil out of there since they had the UN behind those UN guns and threw President Aristide out of Haiti.
Thank
so
you.
But the that's what they've been doing. I mean, these people only deal with profit. They don't care if they have to sell you as a person like they did under slavery or breed you like you're an animal. As long as they make their profit, that is what the white society, that is what, you know, and I'm not saying all white folks. Obviously, there are folks that are not into it, but, you know, white privilege is structural. It's not individual.
Exactly.
So, you know, I have lots of white boys on my mailing list, you know, and sometimes, you know, they come at me and say, well, you know, I'm different. And I was like, listen, okay, white privilege helps you no matter whether you're good or bad.
You don't get the option.
And I'm here to change the structure.
Whatever.
yeah. I said, listen, okay, this is, you're not on CNN. You're not on Fox, okay? This
right,
is
right.
Ezra Dalton's network.
right. You have so much information to share that we need to hear from you that I don't know if we can get it in 2 hours, but I'm going to try to get as much as we can. But obviously, we're more than likely going to have you come back on because, wow, that's all I can say. But I want you to touch on, you spoke about the coup that happened with Aristide. You touched on it briefly, but I want you to get into some of that, and then we'll go and get into some of the information with the recent earthquake in Haiti and what's going on there currently. But I want you to speak about that because you have some ties into the government when Aristide was in place. Am I correct?
I was one of his lawyers, yes.
Exactly. Can you speak
as
to what happened with that coup when they removed Aristide and why they removed Aristide, and then we can go from there?
Absolutely, Secretism. Thank you for asking me. I wanted to say the thing about, just finish it with regards to the Guacaima. There is a call, and it's critically important that we think that blacks understand what was the call that motivated the Africans on August 14th and led them not only to war but to victory. Because call continues today, and it is our motto. It is Kikongo from the language of the Congo. E'e Mbamba, Konga Mandele, Konga Dojoki, Konga Bafyoti, Konga Yo. It means supreme universal intelligence God, whichever one you want to translate it into. We're going to stop the black collaborators. We're going to stop the white settlers and the imperialists. We're going to stop all of their evil forces. And that is still our call today.
Indeed.
Did you hear that, Seek Wisdom?
Yes.
Okay? So, Konga Mundele, stop, kill, whichever language you want to use, okay? Tie up the white settlers, then the imperialists. Konga Bafyoti, you also must stop their subcontractors, which is the black opportunist that they go through. Because you know we had these guys selling us off.
Uh-huh.
And the last, Konga Najoki, stop their evil forces. Their evil forces at the time of the Haitian Revolution was their steel, their guns, and their germs. Because that's what they used to conquer. Okay, yeah. They're still using the same things. People must understand this. They're still using their germs. They're still using their guns, you see, and they're still using their Bible and all those evil forces that they use to tell you that they're giving you whatever. You're taking your soul to the afterlife, whatever it is. But those are what the Haitians looked upon as evil forces. Today, it's not much different. We'll just add the media to it.
Yeah. Now,
are you there?
Yes, I am still here. I'm definitely listening. Now, I want you to just go over one other thing because there are some new listeners that just came into the chat room and that are on the line.
Okay.
The Great Mother, as Ezeli Danto, was the source and the foundation that gave gave everybody the strength and the determination as that warrior mother goddess, or that warrior mother goddess, that everyone went back to source on 8/14/1791. Is that correct?
That's it.
And
that's
so that, going back to the mother, you know, I just want you to, again, touch on that briefly, because that's very important as to what we as black women have to do to get everything back into order right now.
Precisely. And as I talk, I want you to think of not just the mother, think of your body as also the earth, okay? Think of the universal energy also. All right, there was a time unremembered, a time before they made up their history, when women were the primary spiritual figures on this planet, a time long ago, at the very beginning. On August 14th, 17th, excuse me?
I was just agreeing with you. I was saying that's right.
Absolutely. You see? Okay. Now, they had the patriarchy had to destroy that, because that was the natural way of being. Because at the beginning, in the beginning of time, you know, the mother gave birth, the mother knew who her child was, and the mother was the warrior. And the child, especially the male child, protected the mother. Now, if you go back to, let's say, just giving one example of Egyptian times, you know, to sit on Isis's lap, okay, that's how the Europeans got their idea of monarchy, the throne. The throne was to sit on the mother's lap.
Yes.
If people want to go to my website, it's ezilidanto.com. That's EZILIDANTO.com. You will get more information, because obviously Sikh Wisdom, as you know, we only have 2 hours. You want to cover some stuff. I'd be more than happy to come back and just deal with the warrior mother and how she's been treated throughout the world, not just in Africa. You see, because they had to also destroy the white woman in Europe before they can come out and discover the rest of the world. And if you remember, that was what all those witch hunts were about, because the mother was the one that did the herbal medicine, and
yes,
when they wanted to industrialize,
yes,
medicine, you see, they had to get rid of her and call her a witch, so that,
mm-hmm,
they could,
yeah,
industrialize it,
you know,
and mechanize
you.
It.
I love you, because there's a lot of things
because,
I want to talk about, but the most important,
because there's a lot of, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I can't
right
get
now
into it, but I just wanted to, I want, because see, before
no,
they came to us in
no,
Africa,
no,
they were killing their children in Europe. Say what?
I say I don't want you to stop where you're going, because what you're saying is very important information.
Yeah.
You know?
You see? Okay. Well, I'll try. Okay, you stop me when you need to. Okay. So before they met us, before they came out of their caves, wherever it was they were in Europe, okay, and came to Africa or went to other places, in the 15th century, they were killing their children, their daughters and their mothers. They were calling it, because that's what the Catholic Church, you know, grew itself out of. That became the Protestant Church, that became this whole Christian thing. They had to virginize the mother. They had to hybrid her and make somebody else the creator and the one that gave birth. You understand? I mean, I have not
right
met a man yet that gives birth, but you know, they
thank
sold
you
that to the world.
Thank you.
They're trying, though. But you see, now I want black women to hear this very quick as an aside. Be careful what you eat, because they are making hybrid seeds that are infertile. So we are becoming infertile, so that,
yes,
they can go ahead and create people out of test tubes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all over America, that's what's going on right now. Industrialized food, where, I mean, just go to your grocery store and cut up a eggplant or a cucumber, has no seeds in it because they've taken it out, and it can't. So that you know. What used to be something that was natural, that you grew your food and then the seeds from it you can use to make another, you can't do that anymore because they've made the food infertile. If the food is infertile, what is it doing to your body when it's not live? So when I'm talking about what I'm talking about, I'm saying they are destroying the woman. They are destroying the black mother. They
and
have
see,
done that to...
This is the exact same point that I've been trying to explain to people, but then people start, you know, calling names and getting into all that. Not that it hurts my feelings, but the truth is the truth.
Just,
in order
just
to get
call me
straight,
up, okay? I got your back,
go
sister.
Back to, you
believe me, okay? We've taken on, like, large, like right now, I'll give you an example. Right now, okay, now everybody knows the January 12th, 4:53 p.m., there was the greatest modern disaster in Haiti. They say 300,000 people are dead. I'm telling you, it's more. It's going to be close to 1 million by the time it's over. It's definitely 500,000. So that was that. It was like that of the black woman's child was gone. Now, give you an example. There's a big biotech company. All the money that they're amassing in the name of my children's pain, in the name of the people that I knew that died, they've amassed millions and billions of dollars. Red Cross, they collected for the first 4 months $444 million. Now, the people are still 1.5 million Haitians are without any. They're homeless. They have no place to live. They're living in the street under tents, tarps, and sheets. And these people, for instance, the Red Cross, collected from very good people in the universe $444 million. Guess how much of it they've used? Less than 20%. And when you ask them why, they say, oh, for future projects. There is a Haitian dying right now that won't have a future. So I call them poverty pimps masturbating on black pain. And that's my latest piece. If you guys want to just Google poverty pimps masturbating on black pain, because they've made poverty an industry, and they masturbate on our pain. They're doing it everywhere in the black world. So you have who we are as spiritual beings. We are all of us, including the ones that the rulers that run the world that put profit over people. They are all. We are all spiritual beings having a human experience, and each of us come into the world with a mission. And that mission is something that whatever you are more emotionally connected to doing, that is your mission. As long as it extends a sacred energy, a sacred stuff, that's what it's about. You know, mine is to elevate the black woman's child, and that's what I do with my life force. And because I'm from Haiti, I have no other place to do but to say, you know, this will not go on in my time, in my space, without at least you hearing from Esli Danton. You know, doing the hate. So basically, that's what the mother warrior is about. And as I said, you know, there was a time when it wasn't about the Pope. Okay, it was about the black mother. Now, if you guys look at ISIS. The picture of the Virgin Mary and Isis and all of that, all of this comes from the same thing. Vodun is the first spirituality, the first way of being, and all the three religions have taken from it, except this bastardized it, where they have the Trinity. Well, the Trinity in Vodun is Le Marasa, Le Mor, et Le Mystère. Le Marasa, Le Mor, et Le Mystère. Twin, out of primordial space came the twins. The twins had children. The children died and became the divinities. That's the lineage of, you know, but in Christianity, they say whatever, the Father, the Ghost, and the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But in Haitian Vodun, that's where it all comes from, except that, like I said, they bastardized it and to make to, and add the patriarchy and take the woman and make her some virgin, and that's basically what it is. But it in the beginning, out of primordial space came two. It's represented as twins in Haitian cosmology, but I'm going to say it in a way that you will understand it. This is deeper than what I'm saying. I can't go into all of it, but let me just say this. Think of your in-breath and your out-breath. Think of the contraction and release. Think of hot and cold. There came two. Contraction and release. You need both of those in order to have birth. You need to have the inhale and the exhale. The Haitian cosmology paints it as a snake, like a DNA. Think of a wiggle, like coming out. And I teach Haitian dance, and I teach the dance of creation, which is the gyrating dance of that creation, of that movement, of that DNA. Okay. Now that DNA is a picture of, at the very essence, when you came out, you just waves of energy. That's what it is. We picture it as the serpent. We picture it as that. But it was waves of energy, and I teach it more as your in-breath and your out-breath, or the contraction and release that gave birth. That gave birth to something, the third. And that was the child. And then the child gave birth to the child would then use energies in the universe. They would either be, like I said, the mother energy, because all the archetypal energy are sacred energies, and they are reborn all of the time. There is an Esli Dantal everywhere. I mean, she's the black mother. So if you are a nurturer, if you are a defender, you are Esli Dantal. So and then, you know, there's Ogun, there's all sorts of different energies that after time immemorial that the children saw, and they remember their parents. And that's basically what it is. And they call it ancestor worship. But Haitians know that their energy doesn't die. Like energy doesn't die. So if energy doesn't die, like the 300,000 Haitians that have just perished, you see, you know, our Vodun allows us to understand that it's a transformation. And if you're part of that, then you understand that all that was, all that will be, you do not need to have any fear, because you have parents who are looking out for you. You have energies in the universe who are looking out for you. And it is that belief that allows the Haitians to beat the greatest armies on earth, and that allows Haiti to still today exist. So now, with respect to your question about the coup d'etat, in 1991, the first democratically elected president, his name is Jean-Bertrand Aristide, Bush the father, armed the Haitian army to take him down after 7 months in office, and he was put in exile. He came to America, and I left Haiti when I was about 5 years old, so I was at the time practicing law, and I wrote that the United States had no right to take down a democratically elected president, and I kept writing because I felt it. You know, it was egregious what they had done. And so President Aristide asked to meet me. I went to Washington. I became one of his attorneys. When he finally went back under Clinton in 1994, I was asked to put together a judicial reform agenda for Haiti. I was asked, is there any other Haitian-American lawyers like you? And so for him, and for his vision of trying to reform the judicial system and change the system, the Toussaint Louverture system, where there's like this oligarchy in Haiti that owns 90% of the wealth, and they're like the intermediaries for the empire. These light-skinned folks over a black nation, President Aristide. So I went back. I had put together the judicial reform agenda. But when I got to Haiti, at the time, we had about 250 Haitian American lawyers that I had been able to put together for President Aristide. And I didn't intend, I had no desire to start. I mean, you know, I always thought I would practice law for like 5 years and go dance afterwards. You know, I just wanted to make enough money so that I can go have a lifestyle. That never happened because I ended up in Haiti. And when I ended up in Haiti, the United States Agency for International Development, which is, and the U.S. Ambassador, they were so concerned that here was a group of Haitians who wanted to change the paradigm so that the masses would be included in the life and the political and economics of their own country, that I was pretty, anyways, the bottom line is, if it wasn't for the warrior mother, I would be dead right now. It's been 16 years, and I am their worst enemy. I mean, you know, they wish they had gotten rid of me 16 years in Haiti, because I used the platform I have to articulate what the United States Agency for International Development does, what the charity organizations do, and I run programs in Haiti, and we're trying to teach Haitians their history, because they have been mentally colonized to think that, you know, perhaps they're French or something, and to dislike their own black peasant mothers. So that's the work that I do, and that's the information with regards to the coup d'etat. Because, and like in 2004, Bush the son, because President Aristide was returned by President Clinton, and then he ran again in 2004, and he won by a landslide. And but that really bothered the oil men, which is what the Bushes are, the pharmaceutical companies, all these folks that want to, that believe that the land of Africa, whether it's the continent of Africa or the country of Haiti, belongs to them, and those resources are theirs. So they knew, for instance, that Haiti had oil from back in the day, from way back in the 1900s. And they actually did some excavation exploitations, and they locked up the oil wells in Haiti because they didn't want to compete with all of the monopoly they had in the Middle East. And they said, well, we'll come back when we've used up this Middle Eastern thing. And so obviously, you know, by the time Iraq and the Gulf and all, they had used up that. So now they're back in Haiti. They're back in Haiti to take it. Now, their problem is that Haiti lies between Cuba and Venezuela. If you guys look in a map, you see Venezuela is to our south. Cuba is right there to the east to our west. And both of these people have oil. So there's no way we could be in the same water and not have oil. The thing is, they submerged the information. They told you Aristide was like a dictator. They did all sorts of things to say that wasn't the reason they were there. They told everyone they were there to protect the human rights of black people. Give us a break. But they so Haiti has a lot of oil. They're not going to let it go. They didn't want black people to wake up. So they sent the UN. They only sent the Marines for 3 months, and I can't tell you how many people died. And if we were not here, they would have killed more. Period. That's a period, not a comma. So I don't know how long I'm going to have this voice, but I'm telling you, black women, you've got to wake up. You've got to stop, you know, looking at their evil forces, which is CNN, all these mainstream media. They're all plugged in. They're all embedded. They will only give you the news of, you know, the people paying them.
Exactly. Wow. Now, speaking about the things that happened with Aristide, now that brings along the most current situation as to the earthquake. And me personally, you just touched on something that was my first response right after, it was one of the first, not the very first. My very first was concern for the people that were there and how were they going to get help. But the next concern was, why was the U.S. response to send Marines to Haiti? Marines are trained to kill people. They are not trained to help any damn body. They're trained to kill people.
There
so
you go.
I was very,
like I said, you know, they showed their hands right there. I had spent 6 years trying to show the world what I couldn't do. I just couldn't do it because the world actually believes America is a democratic power.
Right.
So and is like, you know, they I actually saw somebody say this today. They make what's evil seem fair and beautiful and godly. So it's very difficult for those of us, you know, who can look evil in the eye and not blink. Because you know what? I have lots of members of my family who can't look at evil in the eye. Because it's not every human being that can do what you and I do, seek wisdom. It's just not. They just don't have the – it's easier to – I call it suburban amnesia. It's easier to have amnesia. Because first of all, there's something about just trying to understand why you're here that could take a lifetime. So then if you have to deal with the outside world too, it could just be a humongous thing, and not many people can just handle that. So you see a lot of, for instance, you know, Zen Buddhists and all these people, you know, they just like, well, I'm going to lock myself up. I don't want to know. I don't have that luxury, you see. I don't have the emotional fabric to turn my head away from injustice.
Right.
But I know how eviscerating, how disemboweling, how it rips out my gut, because I promise you, January 12th ripped out my gut, and that was after, you know, the first coup d'etat with Bush the first, and then the second coup d'etat, and then standing with the people while they were trying to kill dissent and make it, you know, the silence of the cemetery, and have the media always show that, you know, Haitians are corrupt and violent. I mean, to this day, I hit my head against the wall trying to show people that the violence rate in Haiti is less than the violence rate in Dominican Republic, less than
Thank
the violence
you.
Rate in Washington. You know, I mean, I hit my head against the wall because they're evil forces, the media, this is all they talk about. You see, so those are their forces. Their forces are so big that people just take it for granted that our violence rate is higher, and of course it has to be because we're so black. but you see, so Haiti has probably the least violence rate, except for the times when the people are defending themselves because they've trained death squads to come and kill them. So the people just like, no, it's not, you know, they survive. They're like, no, you just, you know. So except for those moments in time, I say Haitians wait without hate. I have a piece that just deals with that. Haitians, anyone, like I said, you want to know some of my work, just go to my website, ezilidanto.com, ezilidanto.com. Now, in terms of the earthquake, I've been doing relief work. Relief work, when I say that, it's like I've worked with some of the Haitian doctors to try doing the very first couple of weeks to bring some relief to the folks. So we were really into that. I don't really have the time to have put things on the website. So for the earthquake, most of my work, whether for the earthquake, is on what I call the Ezli Dantal blog. So just Google E-Z-I-L-I, three words, you know, blog, Ezli Dantal blog, D-A-N-T-O blog, and you will see, you know, for the last 4 months what I've been writing about. Like you said, seek wisdom. The very first thing I said was, Haiti does not need 20,000 troops. It needs 20,000 doctors.
Doctors, so, water.
You know, not first responders, you know.
Right,
yes.
Right.
You know, that's what it needed. But for some reason, they actually, you know, somehow, because we're violent. Now, listen, right? The whole city, capital, went down. People are in shock. I'm still trying to deal with people in my own organizations who can't function, just cannot function, all right? I have this emotional fabric where I keep moving because I can't let it, I can't let it enter my mind. I feel like I'm going to get an aneurysm if I do. So I kept moving. It happened at 4:53. By 5 o'clock, we were reporting it. We were amassing aid. And I have not stopped since. So and like I said, you know, I've been doing this for 16 years. So it is draining. I let it all out in my writings. So if you all want to see the heart of a black woman who has seen more evil than a body can contain, then read Ezeli Dautal. And if you want to know who you are as a black woman, understand that I was raised to deal with all of this by not putting it in my head, but in my stomach. Because if I put it in my head, I would have an aneurysm. But I know I just put it all in my stomach like the black Haitian women do at funerals. I tie it up and I leave it to universe.
Well, we thank you definitely for doing what you're doing and sharing this information with us. Wow. Wow. From your perspective, can you speak to us about what is going on in Haiti right now, like the food, you know? The things I've heard is that the food is being stockpiled, which I believe. I don't believe that they're really giving the food to the Haitians because that's not really their goal. They're definitely not giving the money that they have collected through these so-called organizations that are supposedly nonprofit that are doing things. And I know that you have a network there. So can you speak to what they're trying to tell the public is happening versus what is happening and what your role is with your network and what you're doing there to help your fellow brothers and sisters, and our fellow brothers and sisters in Haiti?
Okay, listen. If they can get all black, if they could get rid of all black people in this world, they would do it.
Then they would die.
Okay, they would do it. Now they can do it in Haiti because we have no protectors and we don't have voices loud enough. But they've picked on the wrong lineage. I promise you that. Okay, they've just picked on the wrong lineage because we know who we are. They are letting the people die. I have a piece out that's called Poverty Pimps Masturbating on Black Pain. And in that piece, I show what they call the charitable organizations. They are connected to the government of America and the UN. They give them a designation called non-governmental organizations. Well, these are the folks that have used that designation, that NPO, not-for-profit. They are all about masturbating on our people's pain. I'll give you a parallel example. You know how in America, at some of these Midwestern towns, they have nothing in them but a prison, and this is where they make their money because you know they've put together this beautiful prison, and then you know they go to the inner cities and they say to these mayors, you know, I'll take your prisoners for you in exchange for, you know, you pay me $500 a head. They're masturbating on this pain that they cause our people, you see. So the prison industrial complex in America is a business. The more black children they feed into it, the higher their profits. And, but what they'll do is they'll show you Oprah and Michael and all these other, you know, folks to say, well, look, you know, look, we got a billionaire who's a black woman. We've got Russell. We've got Diddy. We've got whatever, okay? They're, even in the time of slavery, there was always a Freeman. there was always, like, you know, in the whitest of town, there was just this one black person, even then. And this is their safety valve, you see, because they could put these, but I always concentrate on the masses. I always concentrate on what's happening to the black masses in America. How are they living? What is this structural poverty doing to my people? And if you look at the educational system, it all it does, I mean, I see some horrendous not-for-profits in America where they feed the prison systems. Like these people, you know, they get a not-for-profit in order to, like when people get rehabilitated, they're just feeding the system, or they're giving people these pharmaceutical drugs. I've seen young women, I've gone into the prisons where you see these young women, they put them on these drugs and they never get them off. They're just using our bodies for whatever the profit is and using us. And so if they can do that in America, in Haiti right now, the top five non-for-profits are Catholic Relief Services, Red Cross, Care International, the Bush Clinton organization that Obama landed on our heads, and the Clinton Foundation. If you look at the piece I wrote, Poverty Pimps Masturbating on Black Pain, you will see that they have raised billions of dollars in the name of Haitians. You know, they like I said, you know, the Red Cross alone is $444 million. Care International, I think it's like over $300 million. Da-da-da-da-da, all of them, okay? Now, CBS did an investigation to see in the 4 months since the earthquake how much of the money raised did they use. The Clinton Foundation, of the million and million that it raised, it only used 7%. All the percentages don't add up to more. They've not used more, really, than 20% of what they've raised. And when you ask them what they're going to do with the rest of the money, you know, is it ethical to raise this money and then put it in your coffers to gain interest? And that's what they're doing. That's why I call them poverty pimps masturbating on black pain. But let me just tell you something that's even more egregious. There is a biotech company named Monsanto. It just went to the Haitian, yes, it just went to the Haitian government and said, "Why, we're going to give you some gifts, some 475 tons of hybrid corn and vegetable seeds." I mean, to me, that is the most evil thing. This is earthquake relief. You have a country that cannot feed itself, where the farmers are using hand-tilled things, you know, from back in the day, and you're going to give them hybrid seeds. What that means, corporate seeds, means that you can't replant it. You've got to pay Monsanto's money so you can replant it. So that's a royalty. We already poor, okay?
Right.
This is how evil, evil these people are. Listen, right, I had no idea who Monsanto was, but they came into my territory when they offered this seed, and I swear to you, I don't understand why the universe doesn't know about this people, because in my research, I found that 200,000 Indian farmers committed suicide after they had taken these hybrid and GM seeds. 200,000. How come the universe doesn't know that? Because they could no longer. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello?
Here.
Okay, sorry. I thought, okay. Because they could no longer, like, you know, see, what happens is that, forget about the toxins and the fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides and all the junk that's in it, okay? Because, you know, everybody knows that that fertilizer is made out of, you know, it was the United States government trying to help the Defense Department find a civilian use for its nerve gas. And it's and they, you know, they created pesticides and fertilizers out of that stuff, and now, you know, they all tie into the pool of money that you've given to help Haitians, so that they can bring you this toxic cancer junk, okay? That's what it is. I mean, this is a small, tiny country. Leave us alone. Let them do some organic farming to be able to feed themselves with live food and perhaps enough, perhaps at some point in time, to grow some real organic stuff and export it to the world that actually needs that kind of stuff. But no, now they want to give us hybrid seeds, and that's what they call earthquake relief. Okay? And then imagine, these people have no money. Next, they're giving it as a gift now to hook you in so you make a little money, and then next year, you've got to buy. Every year, you've got to buy. So something that was natural becomes a commodity.
Yeah,
and if anybody wants to look, just Google 200,000 Indian farmers commit suicide. Read it. You will find out it is because of these types of gifts, because they lost their property when they couldn't pay for the seeds, and the despair and all of it. So you know, we already had an earthquake, and I won't even go into it. But some of you who really want to know why there was an earthquake on that fault line in Haiti, read my piece that came out maybe a week afterwards. Did mining cause the earthquake? Because they were mining.
Now that makes more. You said, did mining cause earthquake?
Yes.
Now that's
the name of the piece. Okay, something like that.
Yeah.
Very close to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Makes a little
so
more
so
sense
so.
To me than some of the other things that people are.
Yeah. No. Come on. Okay. Listen. Right. We're island. Okay, people. We're island. Right. The earthquake only happened in one little tiny place. It didn't go through the whole island. How come
it
didn't get to the Dominican Republic?
Right.
Okay.
No.
I mean, like an earthquake is gonna contain itself like that.
Right.
To just like this tiny little thing.
A lot of people kept pointing to HAARP as the reason that it didn't hit the other side of the island.
Yes, and I don't even need to go there because I know they were taking down our mountains. You see, there could be multiple reasons, all right? And
yeah.
It is my firm belief. I will stand on this, okay? It's my firm belief. The reason they sent 20,000 troops in was to clean up their mess before everybody saw it.
So what were they doing there prior to what caused the earthquake from your point of view?
I can't tell you I know for a fact, but I know what causes earthquakes, okay? And it's a fact that mining causes earthquake, which is one of the reasons why, you know, certain mining is not allowed in California, especially
right.
In places that are known to have earthquakes, because you destabilize the tectonic plates, you destabilize the environment. In Haiti, since 2004, when they took out President Aristide, we are a country of mountains after mountains. They've already, for the last, you know, the first occupation of Haiti, because they occupied Haiti for 19 years, took all our lumber out, okay? So now they have the mountains. Inside those mountains, Haiti and Cuba are the two volcano eruption that's 80,000 years ago in human history. They are like, they are gold in terms of the purity of the minerals that are in those mountains. Okay? And like I told you, the white man thinks anything, you know, everything belongs to him, especially if it's owned by black people. Okay, so that's why, you know, they could do what they did in Katrina, you know, make sure the people are gone so that they can, you know, develop the way they want. Because as far as they're concerned, that's a moral and ethical thing to do. So in those mountains in Haiti since 2004, now you can, I have a piece, it's called Mining, it's Esli Dantal interview about mining in Haiti. Those who are interested, listen to that interview. It's on my blog, Esli Dantal blog, or you could just, like I said, Google Esli Dantal Mining in Haiti interview. In that interview, like I did last year, I went over all of the Canadian companies that were in Haiti mining for gold, for copper, for iridium. Can you imagine? And they tell the world, we are poor. Okay?
No, Haiti's never been
and Haitians, yeah. And they're just taking all your resources out behind U.S. guns. And they're telling you that, you know, they're giving us human rights. But I can't tell you how many Haitians have been fighting. But we've been fighting alone because I have no idea what, you know, the black community is. So we're fighting alone. So we have the purest marbles. Like if you go to Italy, you know, they come to Haiti to get their marbles because of the mountains. There were mountains after mountains. Well, they've been, like, if you see, one of the results of it is that the hurricane season has gotten worse and worse and worse for Haitians. So twice we've had in the north where the mountains are, they used to be a natural barrier for the people in the plains. Do you understand? Like a natural barrier
right.
from the sea and the winds of the hurricane. But now, exactly,
yeah.
just like, yeah. So what happens is that's why this town was destroyed called Guanaive twice. In 2004, 3,000 people died. And then in 2008, four back-to-back hurricanes, another 1,000 died. Now, the UN has been there the whole time. Yet each time we have an earthquake or a hurricane, a natural crisis, they have to call for help. I'm like, why are you calling for help when these guys are making $600 million a year? They're supposed to help is supposed to be there already.
They're not there.
Because they're doing their own thing. They're protecting
exactly.
the corporations who are carting out Haiti's resources out of its mountains. And they have these stupid, I call them school retarded Haitians, who believe that the white man, whatever he says he's doing, that's what he's doing. And you know what? What he says he's doing, you got to know that's exactly what he's not doing. He tells you he's bringing you human rights. You better be, he's trying to kill you. Okay, I'm a lawyer. I'm telling you, right? I can prove all this so they cannot take me down because I can prove it. Of course they can take you down anytime they want to. They don't have to have a reason. But still, you know, there's a higher power dealing with me than anything else. Otherwise, I would not still be here to be able to even have this conversation with you. So part of the reasons of the earthquake, the most important reason why earthquakes have gotten worse and worse in Haiti is because they've taken down those mountains. If you look during the time that they had the hurricanes, you would see all that soot, all that mountain debris on the people's faces. Because it comes right down, okay? It's right in the water, okay? And the only thing they care about, just like with this BP spill, is not that they're killing the people or the fishes or the universe, but is that they didn't make any profit because of the hurricane. Or
exactly.
You know, that's what they, and you know what? I haven't even begin to think about, because I cannot, what happens when this oil spill actually reaches Haiti or some of the
yeah.
Caribbean countries, okay? I mean, this is some serious stuff. Like I said, black women, we are the history of rape. If they're doing it to the planet, they're doing it to you. So in that mining essay, okay, I talk about all the mining that's been going on, the coal mining, the gold mining, and I show that there is also oil. Now, those of you who know the shape of Haiti, there's a Gulf of Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince is the capital that was hit by the earthquake. It's right the south of Port-au-Prince is the fault line, okay? Right, okay, in the Gulf of Port-au-Prince goes out into the largest shipping lane in the Caribbean, which comes down from Guantanamo, which comes down from where Cuba is. There's this, like, the Windward Passage. It's like a big shipping lane, okay? The United States always wants to rule that area. It's right in Haitian waters, all right? Now, they were doing all kinds of things there. There's an island called La Gonave. It has oil in it. There's a place called Cité Soleil where a lot of very, very poor Haitians lived. There is a place there where in our maps, that's what President Aristide did actually. he mapped the areas in Haiti where there were resources. So he mapped for the first time. See, before, the Haitian oligarchy and the light-skinned Arabs that are in Haiti that control everything, they kept all the resources dark for the people. Well, President Aristide lifted all that up, put it in a book called Investing in Humans, and he said, you know what, we're going to lift ourselves out of misery using the resources of our country. That scares the hell out of these corporate robber barons who believe that, you know, if Haiti, for instance, nationalized their resources for the use of their people, that means they can't fleece you. So they had to get rid of President Aristide.
Now, I want you to touch on what they are doing, what they have been doing and probably still are doing, when they are sending the people to the Dominican Republic, supposedly saying that they are getting help for injuries. Like,
Well, you know, we have a history with the Dominican Republic, okay? I don't even know where to begin, but let me just say this. Remember I told you the whole island is called Haiti. The African warriors who liberated the eastern side of the country also liberated the western side. They liberated the Spanish side too. But the Spanish side at the time was less populated. And these folks, they asked Spain to come back. They wanted to be a colony. They did not want to be part of a Haiti. They believe themselves to be, you know, Spaniards. So they hate the fact that Africans liberated them. They hate the fact that you know, we're so dark and, you know, we might taint their bloodlines. So there's a history there with the Dominican Republic, and the Dominican Republic has been used to whip Haiti for a long, long time because it's so close to our borders. But during the earthquake, I was working with, I can just tell you that particular time and space that I know about. During the earthquake, the first week of the earthquake, I had a member of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network, a very good friend of ours. His name is Carl Telemac. He was in Haiti. He's an artist. He was working in his studio when the earthquake happened. And, you know, he tells me, you know, when he felt the movement, he thought, like, he thought maybe he was back in New York and it was like, you know, whatever, the train under the tracks or something. And he went outside and he said, you know, immediately, you know, his whole place collapsed and he would have died if he hadn't gone outside. Well, anyways, but he had a truck. He had some resources. He had some connections. And he was driving people from Guadalupe, where he was, to a hospital in the Dominican Republic. And what he told me, and he wanted me to tell the world that, and I did in a piece right after I spoke to him, was that like people would go and they had like a finger crush and they would like, you know, chop off their hands. I mean, people were doing some really wild things at the earthquake, you know. They were chopping off hands and foot and stuff like that when it could have been saved, but you know, there was a lot of that stuff going on, and that's what I know about that particular issue. So that's what they were doing. And even today, you know, there was a point in time, maybe 3 weeks after the earthquake, when I was going back and forth, and the United States has closed down the Haitian airport, so I couldn't even get into Haiti, and I had to go through the Dominican Republic. So now think about this, right? 3 million Haitians abroad, they all want to get to their family, but they have to go to the Dominican Republic and then somehow find a car and get to Haiti. Who makes the money? You make Haiti poorer because you shut down Haiti's airport because you want to bring in 20,000 military and you want to evacuate Americans. That's all they did the first 3 weeks. They evacuated the Americans. They brought in the military. They let the people die. They even turned back, you know, first responders like doctors and stuff like that. So, you know, the universe, you guys must understand, okay? It's a black woman's child. Nobody cares about it, that black woman's child, okay? I don't care that Obama's in office. He did the worst thing possible. The worst insult was not only did he send us 20,000 troops and 20,000 doctors, but he also had the nerve to put Bush, who took down Haiti's democratically elected government, to white.
Yeah,
okay.
He put him
in charge of Haiti relief. That's like, you know, this is the guy for Katrina, right? And then the Clinton for Rwanda, right? They go put them at the head of relieving us. I don't know. I got nothing to say. I don't have any more words these days. I am worded out, people.
Wow. It is a lot, but like I said, I'm glad that you came to share the information with us, and it looks as though we may have some questions. We have about 24 minutes remaining, so for those sisters and or brothers who may have questions, our call-in number is 646-716-7675. And before I go to the lines, could you give us your website again? I have been we posted it in the chat room quite a few times.
All right, it's EZILIDANTO.com. That's my website. My blog is Ezili Danto blog. It's on Open Salon. Just Google Ezili Danto blog. And that has the latest information, whatever I'm working on as a writer. You know, if Monsanto decides to come to Haiti, you know, we're doing a campaign, and right now our campaign is to ask the United States Agency for International Development and Obama to just take this stuff out of the way. You know, don't put money into this. You know, put money into some real agricultural sovereignty for these Haitians who are starving. So we're running those types of campaigns. You know, we're telling the universe, you know, there's another voice to Haiti, and you don't hear that voice. You know, I mean, that's basic. And you know, I have a mailing list. Those of you who are interested in becoming part of the network, just send me your email, and I will put you on. My colonial name is Marguerite Laurent. That's Laurent. So if you go on my website, it'll say Marguerite Laurent. But you know, I'm not French. You know, I don't use my colonial name. Sorry.
You're not French?
That's all. Marguerite Laurent. I have to deal with all these francophony French Haitians all the time. I'm not French. No, thank you, you know. Descendant of Jean-Jacques Dessalines. You see, when you don't know any better, you know, my parents didn't know any better, you know. But
right.
When you do know better, you do better.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Again, our call-in number is 646-716-7675, and we are speaking with Ezili Danto. And, look, I didn't put a French twist on it.
That's cool, my sister.
Ezili Danto. Wow, I laugh at myself sometimes. Okay, the first question we have is area code 478. Pieces, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you all? Thank you for the interview. I'm currently reading Guns, Germs, and Steel by Jared Diamond. And what I wanted to ask you is because, you know, this book just really talks about what you just said about how they really try to shut down a bunch of agricultural growth and white people just try to take over the resources of all these nations. What I wanted to ask you, because I believe the same thing, that this is truly an attack on black women, what can we as black women do?
Well, you're doing it right now is like you're going beyond the education that they're giving you to educate yourself. And what you need to do is to educate another with regards to what you're learning. And also understand, you're reading, you know, put it in your own stomach. Do you understand? Because you're also reading from a perspective of some white guy.
Right.
Do you understand? I mean, I like Jerry Diamond, and his stuff is certainly non-traditional. But I'm also saying too, you know, he's out there to prove that these folks weren't evil. It was just geography.
Right. Yeah, he calls them Euro-Asians and all this other stuff.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, I mean, you know, all right. I mean, I read it, you know, I can't, you know, it was a while ago, but I remember, like, thinking to myself, yeah, right. I mean, but there's a lot of stuff you can get out of it. Do you understand? Because you know, I learned, for instance, you know, it never occurred to me that, you know, Africa was tropical and so was Haiti, and they only have two seasons, you know, the dry and the wet season. So it's difficult to have more than one harvest, where in America they can have two or three harvests, you know, so you can get richer faster. So all of those things. But then when they take Monsanto seeds, like you say, and they implant them in a different ecology, it's not the same ecology. We're tropical nations, not the same ecology. And that's why sometimes germs work in particular places and they don't work in other places, because the Africans, for instance, had some sort of a immunization in Haiti during the war that the Europeans did not have, but it didn't work out the same way. So getting information is critically important. Second, as I said, you know, please come and join us, because we are a voice that's saying, you know, the black woman must rise. And, you know, I come from a scholarly way of it. I can talk all of the various scientific stuff, okay? But I'm also about what you can't, you know, I think the Chinese say, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. I'm also a spiritual person. And that metaphor language, and that, I'd like to just do one show where we just talk about that. That metaphor,
oh,
the archetype, that language is something that women must understand what symbols are about, what
uh-huh.
and how you can connect yourself, my sister, to the biosphere and gain the power that was drained out of you so that you can issue forth. Because you are what you have always, always been. So I hope I answered
yes,
that a little
it.
Bit.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the informative talk.
You're welcome.
All right. Again, our call-in number is 646-716-7675. We have a chat room full of people, and the lines are full, but nobody is pressing 1. You have to press 1 to let me know you have a comment and or a question. Let me check and see if Pastor Flowers, do you have a comment or question in reference to the topic and our guest today?
No, I don't have a question. She's answered all the questions, all that I knew. It's the black mama. It's definitely her. This I do know. This I've been speaking. This I know, you know, it's not what it is. You know, she's a mighty source, but they're trying to topple her down, and we must wake up and rise up.
That's right. That's what we're all about here on the Black Womaniverse. That's why when I heard her speak, when I first ran across Esli Danto, she was on another show, and she was speaking about Haiti, and I'm just listening to her voice. I was like, no, it's something. Not that Haiti isn't the biggest thing that, you know, but I was like, it's something else that's in her that I got to do some research on her. And when I went to her website and I was like, okay, Esli Danto, I already know that is a spirit and an entity, you know, that is innate in all of us black women. But when I really went to her website, I was like, aha, this is why I've got to get in contact with her. Oh, my gosh. Like I said, we're going to have a part 2 to this so that we can just specifically speak on, you know, the great mother aspect of this, you know, because
yes,
it's just so
yes.
much.
And how
we're about
critically,
here.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, each one of us have a way of entering into the universe. The way I enter the universe with respect to my own spirituality is through movement. But, you know, others may have different ways. You know, I teach workshops sometimes, artistic workshops, creative writing workshops with some of the pieces that I do. And my theater work has a written component, a movement component, and, you know, mine is a movement component. You know, when I need to touch my source, a lot of times I've got, and women have to understand, especially African women, you know, our movement comes from their hip, you know. Sexuality and spirituality are very connected, but patriarchy has destroyed that link, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, though they have destroyed that link, you know, they keep coming after our behinds all the time, because they're because they understand. And I mean, I know how that sounds, but you see, okay.
No,
remember, I was telling you about that in breath and that, you understand the in breath and that out breath, okay? Well,
mm-hmm.
if you really are in that, you know, because I teach a class where, you know, I show people how to move that kundalini, which is because
right.
all of our right there at the base of your first chakra. Well, the Haitian dances, that's really what they're all about. And,
oh, yeah.
and those who don't know that, you know, will put all these European movements in it.
Mm-hmm.
So my grounding came from, I actually entered Vodun through art. And so my perspective is a little different from those who entered it as a ritual. So I entered it through art and through learning how to draw the veves. Like, you see my veve all over the internet, you know. Because that heart, that sacred heart of the black woman is this. See, she cuts out evil with good. But because she is the mother of all the races, including this hybrid who's gone crazy, because she is the mother of all of the races, you see, when she takes out the sword from her heart, you see,
mm-hmm.
she bleeds. She hemorrhages. Mm-hmm. So it takes a special woman, a special black woman, to take care of her child and know you're going to bleed to do it.
Yes.
Because you will. Now, Christianity tells you to just pray and turn the other cheek,
ooh,
and there's no warrior mother there. There's just that passive woman who is purified by the patriarch and who's put on a pedestal and who is not supposed to do anything sexual.
Huh.
You see? So they've eviscerated a very important part of the black woman, but they come looking for it. And now they've bastardized it. You see? Because your body is your temple, okay? Who you allow in it will defile that temple unless there's some intimate connections to it. So now, you know, sex has become recreational as opposed to
uh-huh.
a connection of intimacy.
Right, and a sacred
And nobody tells a black woman that the liquids that are put into you by the sharing of this intimacy will stay in your body, will
mm-hmm.
affect your soul. So you know, it's like that, and I've come to the level where certain areas I can't go into because my sensitivity is so high. I'm connected to energies, and everybody can get there once you connect it to energies. But then when you connect it to energies, you have to understand, which ones are you going to allow inside your body?
Thank
you.
You
Thank
see?
You.
So I'll give you just a simple, simple example. You know, I'm dealing with Haiti, and I know I have to work on getting rid of all the junk that I just talked to you about, because otherwise I wouldn't be a sane human being. Because we are not made to look at evil, you see. So I have a different colony. I mean, I can't go into it today, but voodooists have a, we issue from a different colony. You have to have your own colony where even as you're saying what you're saying, you're living in a particular space. Like, for instance, you know, I haven't been able to deal with the BP stuff and the, because I'm dealing with Monsanto's and what it's doing to Haiti. I know my limits. I can only deal with so much of the evil stuff that's going on into the world. So I haven't watched TV in 10 years. What mm-hmm. you allow to come into your body is critically important. So just like the my sister woman who just called, who called and who talked about reading Jared Diamond, well, she has chosen what to allow, and she will continue to choose what to allow into, because it all matters.
Right.
It all matters at levels, subconscious levels that we don't know about. So I would urge every black woman, first of all, you know, understand, you know, what are you allowing in your body? Whether it's somebody's, you know, the intimacy, is it, are you connected to something when you do that? Because it stays in your veins. It stays in your soul. What are you imbibing? Who are your friends? Are they staying at that level of thought where it's all about negativity and bickering and gossip? And if that's what's in your universe, you must move to a different universe. You must. Because it's energy, and energy attracts like. If you want to meet God, you've got to be God.
Yes.
Now, wow, okay, we have another caller on the lines. Area code 916, could you let us know who you are and what your question and or comment is?
Yes, Hotep Peace. This is a commission from California. I just have a quick question. Hi, how you doing? I have a quick question. Sister, what did they do with all the dead bodies? Did they steal the melanin out of those people? What happened to the people that died? I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say that they the last time I was able to look, that, you know, because there's certain times, remember I was saying to you, my sisters, that there's certain things you just can't, you can't look. I was there when they were burying 70,000 people in one grave. All right, and I'm just saying to you, there's, you come to a point where you know your limit. I knew my limit. I mean, I still today wake up and I think I don't have my arms or my legs because I psychosomatically, I'm there because I saw so many amputations. I can wake up today and still feel like, you know, my arm is throbbing like it's not there. I touch it to see if it's there. So the human body can't take certain things. Now, I don't know this personally. I only know I saw the mass grave, and they were treating these sentient beings that were just human beings just a minute ago as if they were a piece of garbage, okay?
Yeah.
They didn't bother even taking a picture for the lost ones who would be looking for them for a lifetime to say what happened to so-and-so. So that was going on. I have been told, I do not know because I did not have enough resources. Like, we have, I have about 10,000 subscribers. I have probably the biggest list in terms of Haitians and folks who are interested in Haiti, African-Americans and nationalists and so on, and folks like you who are interested in the women's power, the mother warrior. But the folks that I had that were in Haiti, people, you know, we lost a third of our people, and the rest of them are in shock.
Mm-hmm.
So there was only so much I could do in terms of following up on this. But I was told that there were certain companies that were taking body parts to come and sell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did not follow it up, okay, because there's only so much I could do. But I wouldn't, it's happened
I
in other. Yeah, I mean, people were taking people's eyes out and spleens, and I don't know what they were taking out, but, you know, I know that there's a report somewhere by one of the CNS, CBS, or whatever. I wasn't looking into it, but I was told. But most of the people that perished, they put in mass graves.
That picture of that, mentally and the physical picture, is just that's too much.
It is too much. I tell you, my sister, I wish I had not lived through this.
Mm-hmm.
I really wished. But the universe has some sort of a plan, and so I'm still here. But yeah, it is impossible. It's not even impossible. I don't even have the words. It's unfathomable. It's like not possible. I still am in denial most of the time. But it did happen.
All right, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left in the live stream, so I wanted to thank everyone who came out to listen to us. We are located at blackwombniverse.com, and our email address is blackwomb@divinechemistry.com. Chemistry is spelled D-I, chemistry is spelled D-I, wow. Chemistry is spelled K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y. We will definitely have to have Ezeli Dantzel back on to speak with the sisters again in reference to, you know, the warrior mother goddess and the aspects and the archetype that goes along with that, because we do need more information in reference to that so that we have a clear understanding of everything. And, Ezeli, I want to thank you so much for coming on to speak with us today. Wow, the information you share with us, I just want to say thank you for that, and thank you for doing what you do, because it is very important, you know, what you're doing. Very important.
Thank you. Thank you for the support. I appreciate it, and I hope folks will come and help us because, you know, we're doing
this. What can we do to help what you're doing?
Oh, my goodness. What can you do? Make a donation so we can continue. I mean, if I don't, or bring me to your university, your school, your college, or whatever, because that's what keeps me going, is making speeches and coming up and talking to people. You know, I do workshops. You know, all of that will help. At least continue the work. You know there's no one else supporting this. This is a black woman talking. Who else is, you know, and I have to deal with these, you know, total, this whole environment where the only, if there's a hearing on Haiti, it's a whole bunch of white boys in front of there talking about Haiti. you know, it's like, you know, you do not see, you don't see me, you know, and you won't see me because I'm pretty much, you know, the pain that they want to go away. But before that time goes, I want as many black women to know that I lived, and this is what Ezeli Dantzel is, and this is what they are, and this is what we have a legacy to reach for. That legacy, you know, they tried to destroy it, but apparently they were not successful because you and I are here. All the women listening to me right now, all the men listening to me right now, because they all have to have some sort of energy that brought them into this space for today. And just that desire, just that interest is enough for each and every one who are listening to me to build upon and go inside themselves and find what is it that I have to do in the universe to heal. You know, with regards to, I always say, you know, Haiti, for instance, is not looking for charity. We're looking for justice. You see, and for the black woman's child and for the universe right now, the universe wants justice. It wants a balance. It doesn't want you people who are ready to just integrate with what's already there, because you can live in suburbia. Because, you know, we have this thing at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership where we say that Haiti was founded on this concept, not the democracy that America brings into the world or the Westerners bring into the world. It was founded on the concept that we reject bourgeois freedom. Bourgeois freedom, my people, just look it up on my website. It means it's when slavery, rape, poverty, misery lives in the same space as unlimited freedom,
unlimited beauty, unlimited wealth in the same space. That is not natural. But you see, that's why they were able to have slavery and show you Gone with the Wind while the young guy of the house was raping the woman in the cabin. They were all running around, you know, looking like beautiful people in their beautiful clothes, and they don't see it. They're blind to the injustice. And so we have to everybody's blind to the injustice. The injustice all around us, people are just blind to it now. And it's our job to bring back balance and to open people's eyes so that we could be balanced individuals and we don't have a world where unlimited freedom lives in the same space as rape and slavery and poverty.
Well, the message that you are speaking today is definitely going out to a wide network of black women who are attentively listening to what you're saying and have a clear understanding of who or what they are. Now comes what we need to do. How do we make a donation to support what you're doing? Where do we go?
Go to my website. Okay. Go right in the front page. Go under the law section. You see donate to this work. Please, okay, come and help us. Make a donation to the Enley.org Witness Fund. Just make a donation. We're running relief programs. And just for my writings, read a few, though, okay? Know why you're making that donation. Read a few of them. See, there's no one doing this work, I promise you. And, you know, they're not going to have me on CNN. They're just not, because that's not the voice they want to hear.
Well, that's why we have alternative media solutions out here, such as what we're doing with the Black Womaniverse and the Order of My Eye and a whole lot of different radio shows and, you know, websites. You know, it's our job to tell the truth about what's going on with our people and to identify those who are actually doing the work to help out.
That's right. That's right.
So,
like I said, I'll try to put a donation thing because on my front page, I have a Haiti forum that I just did because I'm always trying to show people, give them all the information that I could. But the donation, you could just search it, but it's right under the law section. Just push law at the top, and you'll see the donation. Please help us out so that we can continue to do the work we're doing. Believe me, we've got some pretty big challenges.
I understand. So that is a call out to everyone who is able to donate, even if you can't do it today, tomorrow, next week, what have you. It's very important
yes.
that we support the sister and the
please
network.
Please do that. And come and become part of the network. You know, if you can't donate tomorrow, today, you might be able to do it, you know, tomorrow. But you'll get to know some of the work. And, you know, we're like I said, I'm running programs in Haiti, and I depend on the network to provide certain things. You know, we have a list of medicines. We have, you know, all sorts of things that we're doing, and we need a lot more black women on the Esley Danton Network.
Okay.
All right. Blessings, my sister.
Right.
Thank you for inviting me. I truly appreciate it.
And I will speak with you soon so we can schedule your for you to come back to speak with us again. Thank you so much for taking time out for us today.
Be well.
Peace. All right, family, sisters.
Great
there
show.
There you have it. Another. The lines are open for all the sisters. We have an 804 area code, a 305 area code, and also 347. Does anyone have any comments and or questions about what we just heard for the last 2 hours?
I look forward to your next show.
Yes, I've been trying to get in contact with the sister for a moment, but of course I'm very busy myself. It hasn't been her, it's been me emailing her. I finally got around to doing so, and I'm so happy that I did. The information that we just heard has not, some of this information isn't a shock to us, but it hasn't been put to us in this way from a Haitian woman. That has
right.
a Haitian woman, let alone, and then one that has the background that she's had, where she's been able to be privy to things that not a lot of us have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, and I found it interesting. That's why I'm looking forward to the next show, that she
yeah.
spoke of some of these imposters and some of these other people that are, you know, playing to the side of these other people. And I have some questions about that, especially as it's linked to voodoo and voodoo, because this is the only time, Sikh, that I've heard of a Haitian woman speaking of the spirituality of voodoo, but also an activist, a strong activist. Because, that's not what we see. We see a bunch of the priestesses. You have to pay a certain amount for initiation. You got to do all this stuff, but there's no physical legwork. You're not really out there helping these people, these women, fighting for the cause of the Great Mother.
Right.
So I have some questions about that, about what this real and authentic voodoo and voodoo stuff really is.
Okay. Well, I will definitely get back in touch with her, and we will have her scheduled to come back on. I will see how her schedule is, but we'll get her back on as soon as possible because I really, the first show, I wanted to get into a lot of the information with the mother, but I knew it was a lot of information that we had been misled about the situation with Haiti, Haitian history, and all of that. So the first show, I wanted to get, a little bit of everything, but the next one, it will be specifically in reference to the spiritual side of it and the activist side as to what she's doing and, just to the questions that you just had, because I would like to know that information as well. So, did anyone else have a comment before we end this show out for today? Okay, I'm going to assume that's a no. Well, I just want to give thanks to everybody who came to listen today. And like I said, come join us on blackwomaniverse.com, and I'm going to play some music, and we will see you next time. Peace.
Peace.
was there, always been there. I remember that it did, and it does now. I'm pretty sure about that. Thanks. In the house, it's time for y'all to open your big fat mouth and sing.
Do you remember me?
Love me too. This album has been out for a little over a year.
Came out July 18, 2000. So far, so